Now, as you notice, as you would have noticed in your bulletin, that mine is entitled "Prophecy is a Gift." However, when you look, if you had received this last month, the last messenger for last month, there is a copy of the Week of Prayer in there. And if you had seen the copy, you would have recognized that today's prayer, today's reading is entitled "Why God Sent Prophets." But I chose for mine, you know, as the whole heading, that prophecy is a gift, because it begins with "Why did God send prophets?" Now, as you notice, I'm doing a PowerPoint presentation, as well as I will explain some things as we go along. So I'd like you to follow me, because I'd like us, it's a very deep reading. It was written by Ted Wilson, and anybody who knows Ted Wilson knows that anything he writes is very deep. So what I went through it over and over, and I put it together in a bit simpler, so that, you know, everybody could understand. So whether you're deep or whether you're a child or whoever, everybody could understand it. So I like to begin, as you notice on the screen, it says, "Why did God send prophets?" When Adam and Eve opened their eyes, they looked into the lovely face of Jesus, and the first words they heard came from his melodious voice. Everything was perfect in their beautiful garden home. They enjoyed the company of angels, of each other, and of God himself. Ellen White, and notice that the readings is about prophets, and Seventh-day Adventists, you know, we believe that Mrs. White was a modern-day prophet, but we'll talk more about that later on. However, in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 50, she describes the scene. The holy pair were not only children under the fatherly care of God, but students receiving instruction from the all-wise Creator. They were visited by angels and were granted communion with their Maker with no obscuring veil between. But once sin entered this world, things went horribly wrong. Instead of delighting to meet with God, our first parents fled in terror, seeking to hide. But of course, one can never hide from God. Of the many things they lost that day, one of the most painful was the privilege of open face-to-face and communion with God himself. And quoting from same Patriarchs and Prophets, and you can read with me on the screen, it's on the screen there, it says, Adam in his innocence had enjoyed open communion with his Maker, but sin brought separation between God and man, and the atonement of Christ alone could span the abysses and make possible the communication of blessing or salvation from heaven to earth. So that was one of the quotes. So what happened? God did not abandon us. Now, when we love someone, we always want to spend time together with them. We want to commune with them. We want to be there with them. We would bring them gifts. We want to spend quality time with them. And the same with God, because God wanted to continue to communicate with us. And as it's said in Matthew 7:11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And so God did not abandon us. Instead, he chose to be there for his people. God created other ways to communicate his all-important life-saving instruction to the world. It's a bit small. I didn't expect it to come out small, but those are some of the ways that God decided to continue to communicate with man, and I'll read them for you. The first one is through angels. Secondly, through creation or nature. Thirdly, the cloud or pillar of fire, remember, with the children of Israel. Fourthly, the Urim and Thummim. Fifthly, dreams. Sixth, the voice from heaven. Seventhly, the Holy Spirit guiding individuals. The eighth, the eighth way in which God communicates with us is Christ in person. And the last one, as you notice there, is the prophets. But we would recognize that as we read the Bible, as we study the Bible, that God found different ways to communicate. And I'm certain, even today, that God does communicate with us. I do not know about you, but even when I'm praying, God answers my prayers, even while I'm praying. Sometimes he sends dreams, he answers me in dreams. Sometimes he sends an individual to say to me what is it that he wants me to do, or to confirm something which he has told me and I'm refusing to accept, because I know there are times in my life when God wanted me to, you know, to assume a role in the church and I didn't want to do it, and you know, I found all sorts of excuses until when God sent someone to say to me, the person without even knowing that God had told me to do it, would, you know, came and said, well, this is, you know, God is telling me this is what you want, he wants you to do. So God has found ways to communicate with us because he has not abandoned us. Using prophets shows that God places a high value on human beings. That is why he chose from among them men and women to represent him. Why did God send prophets? Now, if we turn to 2 Chronicles 36, I'd like you to turn to 2 Chronicles 36, please, because we're going to read a few verses there. And starting with 2 Chronicles 36, verse 12. Now, while you're finding it, I just want to give you a little background to that. In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 11, Zedekiah became king when he was 21 years old. And while he was king, he chose not to do whatever God wanted him to do. In fact, he just did his own thing. So let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 12. It says, Zedekiah did evil in the eyes of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke the word of the Lord. So notice, God always sends his prophets to reveal to his people what he would like them to do. We are studying Ezra and Nehemiah, and those are very deep studies. And I always like when Martin, you know, when I come here, Martin is doing the lesson study, because he goes very deep. And as he was saying, you know, as he looked over this week's lesson, he was saying, you know, it has really struck me. But Martin, like you, when I grew up in the church, and I remember many times I read those things about Ezra and Nehemiah, but they did not mean anything much to me. And I, like, for example, I wondered why, I couldn't understand why Nehemiah, he was arming those men with swords, because for me, as a child, because I believe that when you pray, you know, as a child, that's how you see things. When you pray, the Lord will look after you. He will protect you. So he said, why is Nehemiah telling, you know, arming them with swords? They don't need to do that. They're praying and the Lord should take care of them. But as you grow older and you get your own experiences, then you realize that there are times when God wants you to do something. And we can see that in First Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles 20. Remember when the armies, you know, they were going to attack the children of Israel. And what did the Lord tell them? To put people to sing. He didn't tell them to arm themselves with swords, but he said, let there be singers, and I'm going to do the rest. So there are times when, you know, even though the Lord may say to us, stand still, and even though we know that God will hear our prayers, we have to listen to him. We have to listen to God. And brethren, I'm saying to you today, let me say, congregation, men, women, children, you need to learn to listen to God. Because many times God is telling us what to do and we are disobedient. We do our own thing and then we end up in trouble. But what I like about God, as I always say, God is not like me. Even though we may end up in trouble, God still looks after us. And he would still send people to look after us, or he would still send his prophets. So notice what We can't read everything about Zedekiah, but you can go home and you can read more about him. But in verse 14, it mentions that all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And verse 15 tells us something more about God. He repeatedly sent messengers, sent his prophets. In verse 15 it says, because he had compassion on his people. So even though he had warned them, and because he had compassion, he continued to send prophets, but they continued to disobey God, and the consequences were that many people were destroyed, many innocent people, children, men, women, children, they were all destroyed because they had disobeyed God. And even though he had warned them, they did not heed to his warning, and so the Lord had to deal with them. Sadly, God's prophets and the messages he sends through them have often been rejected. Nevertheless, God has persisted in maintaining a prophetic channel of communication to his people because we are the apple of his eye. God continues to send prophets. Okay, I've just read that, but I'll read it again for you. Sadly, God's prophets and the messages he sends through them have often been rejected. Nevertheless, God has persisted in maintaining a prophetic channel of communication to his people. And you can look up those texts when you go home in Deuteronomy 32:10 and Zechariah 2:8, because we are the apple of God's eyes. Now, God works through prophets. Through the ages, God has given vital, life-saving messages through his prophets. Prophets are ordinary people whom God has chosen to represent him by receiving his divine messages and delivering them faithfully to his people. As is said in 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God revealed things to them and they wrote in their own language. As we read through the Bible, that's what we were told. From Genesis to Revelation, God spoke to his people and they wrote. Prophets have played a vital role throughout human history, illustrating why God has blessed his people by sending prophets. There's a gentleman by the name of Herbert Douglas, and he, in his book Messenger, he gave 8 reasons why God used prophets. Rather than some dramatic attention-getting device, such as writing on the clouds or thundering out his will every morning at dawn, prophets pointed to and prepared the way for Christ's first advent. Number 2, as representatives of the Lord, prophets showed people that God valued human beings enough to choose from among them men and women to represent him. Number 3, prophets were a continual reminder of the nearness and availability of God's instruction. Number 4, the presence of prophets tested the people about their attitude towards God. Number 5, messages through the prophets accomplish the same purposes as personal communication from the Creator. Number 6, prophets demonstrate what fellowship with God and the transforming grace of the Holy Spirit can accomplish in human lives. And number 7, prophets help to communicate the plan of salvation through a combination of the human and the divine. And number 8, the prophets' outstanding work is their contribution to the written work. So God works through prophets. And we can see that because when we study the Bible, we will see that God worked through his prophets. Now, prophecy is a gift. Prophets serve as a key communication link between God and human beings. The Bible is a collection of God's messages for his people, and a record of his working among them. Written by his prophets, over a span of nearly 1,600 years from Moses to the Apostle John, as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The gift of prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit, and we can see that that is true as we look into 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Can you turn your Bibles to me, please? Because we need to read that. In the whole of 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the prophets, but there are two particular texts that I have highlighted. The first one talks about the gift of prophecy, you know, the gifts that God gave us, teachers, and the second one is prophecy, and that's in verse 10. And then in the same 1 Corinthians verse, chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets. I wondered why, the apostles go before prophets. I was looking to see where teachers fall because I'm a teacher. I think we are number three, I think. And but it's very interesting how God, you know, that hierarchy. And notice where the prophets, first the apostles and then the prophets. And it says the same thing is, you know, God has done in our last day. That in the last days, in Revelation 12:17, we are told that the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And those of us, well, once you grow up in the church and you study prophecy, we recognize that the testimony of Jesus Christ, we refer to it as the spirit of prophecy. God is still speaking to his people, as he says in Revelation 19:10, I am your fellow servant. The angel said to John, I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And we believe that in our day, the spirit of prophecy are the writings of Mrs. White. Seventh-day Adventists believe that God, in his wisdom and compassion, has raised up a prophet for these last days. While it is not necessary to mention all the tests of a prophet in this reading, one important test is that a true prophet will never contradict previous messages given through God's prophets. For the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That is what we are told in 1 Corinthians 14:32. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And so, Mrs. White, you know, we believe that God sent her. She's a last-day prophet, modern-day prophet. That is what we believe her Seventh-day Adventist. Throughout all of her writings, letters, sermons, and messages, Ellen White upholds the Bible. As we, you know, yes, I do have that. Yes, Ellen White upholds the Bible and never contradicted its teachings. What we have done as Seventh-day Adventists, we're the ones, as I said, I grew up in the church, and there are many times that there were members of the church who would place Mrs. White's writings above the Bible, and that is why many of my generation, they just don't believe in Mrs. White. They don't want to follow her writings because they felt that the church was uplifting her above the Bible. But please note that that was not God's intention. That is what Satan does. He takes the good things and turns them around so that we don't want to believe that we should be honoring Mrs. White's writings. We should be studying. But if you look at what's happening in today's society, you would recognize that Mrs. White isn't living today. She has died a long time ago. But she wrote The Great Controversy. She spoke about, she mentioned about the breaking up of the European Union. And we can see that it's about to happen. And I remember that, you know, like last year, I had my friend saying, Florence, it's not going to happen because you know, we talk about Brexit, every time you talk about Brexit, people are always voting against it. And I said, it's going to happen, but I do not know when. But I know it's going to happen because the Bible says so. And they asked me, where in the Bible? So I said, it's, you know, I'll have to explain everything to you, but just watch and see that it's going to happen. And we know that it's going to happen because God says so. And God used Mrs. White to explain to us what is going to happen in the last days. I would like that as we go through this week of prayer, I know you're not spending every day reading it, you know, in church, but I'm glad that in your announcement that you've seen where you can get the app, and as I said, you could also get a magazine. But during this week, I would like us, you know, I would encourage you to consider the incredible gift of wisdom and compassion God has given to us through his prophets, and to remember the blessings that come from heeding his word. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. 2 Chronicles 20:20.